Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name's Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Craig Wilson. How's it, Craig?
Yeah, all right. Thanks to you, Duncan.
We're recording on a Monday afternoon instead of a Friday afternoon. Craig, you were away on Friday, so apologies for not getting the podcast up on Friday, but better late than never.
Yes, indeed.
Cool. I think let's dive straight into it. I'd like to talk quite a bit about what's happening in the broadband market in South Africa. There's so many interesting developments at the moment with price cuts and specials, etc., being announced left, right, and center. MTN being the latest on Friday, announcing that they were cutting the cost of their uncapped, and I put the word uncapped in inverted commas, broadband offerings quite dramatically. The 3 gigabyte option has been cut from 749 rand a month to 299 rand a month. The important thing about this, and the reason MTN is calling it uncapped, is that once you use up that 3 gigabytes of data, you can still connect to the internet, although at not much better than dial-up speeds, 128.
Sure, what's the throttle to 128 kilobits a second,
which is about just over twice what you could probably get on a dial-up, maybe three times as much, but sure, still very slow. It's interesting that they've cut the price on that. So it's a dramatic price cut, around 60% if my maths is correct there. And on the top-end product, which has a 10 gigabyte usage allowance, after which you're throttled to 128 kilobits a second, the price has dropped from 1,999 sure, rand a month to 899 rand a month. So quite dramatic cuts there. Although it must be said that these are only applicable if you sign up for a 24-month contract.
I was going to say, and I think that's one of the main problems that remains to be seen. I mean, as you said, obviously the big news recently was the ATA announcement of the 199 rand a month for 10 gigs. But again, this problem of the 24-month contract, because, you know, if you think how quickly things have moved in this space in the last 6 months even, it looks likely that, you know, even if you signed up for ATA's package, it's quite possible that in a year's time that won't seem like quite such a good deal as it does now.
Well, I suspect it's going to take a while for the other operators to get down to that sort of 2 cent per meg pricing, which ATA has on the special offer at the moment.
Absolutely, I think they've sort of it's more future proof an offer than many of the others.
Than perhaps the MTN uncapped inverted commas option.
Absolutely. And the other problem, of course, with the MTN uncapped is the price cuts are enormous when you look at what they were before.
Yes.
But again, relative to what else is out there.
Relative to ATA special. ATA is also a 24-month contract.
But $8.99 for 10 gigs on MTN versus $1.99 for 10 gigs on ATA. And again, we have to qualify this because MTN have better coverage than ATA do. So
for now,
depending on your needs. But as you said, that's for now. And my only worry with all of these contracts is that in a year's time, the landscape could look very different, and then you've still got another year of paying for it.
And probably will, indeed.
Yeah, indeed.
Indeed. It's all trending in the right direction. There's certainly a price war going on, and every week there seems to be a new salvo in this war between the operators.
Sure,
seems to be they're all trying to buy up customers at this point in time, and they're using price as their biggest leverage to do that.
And it's going to be interesting to see when they reach the sort of tipping point. There's got to be a balance point beyond which they can't discount any further, to attract customers without actually hemorrhaging money.
Well, I think Peter Ace said recently that he is the CEO of Vodacom, of course, said recently that the 149 rand a month 2 gig specials that the various operators are running are not sustainable.
Right.
At that sort of level.
So you have to wonder how they're going to compete with something like a 10 gig offering. Unless they can find other ways to entice users to up their voice charges, but that seems incredibly unlikely.
It seems to me that the operators are going to have to become better at managing their costs, and they're doing this. I mean, one of the main reasons that Vodacom and MTN, for that matter, are so aggressively deploying their own fiber infrastructure into their base stations is to lessen their reliance on having to lease that infrastructure from a third party, usually Telkom, to provide these services. And I think both MTN and Vodacom are betting that if they can get their own fiber into enough base stations, they can reduce that cost to the point where it actually becomes feasible to offer these sort of packages at these low rates.
Sure, and hopefully at the same time, of course, they still will be wanting to recoup on some of the money they've spent on laying all of this fiber.
So yeah, indeed.
Those are the challenges too, is can they get it out, can they get it to the market in time?
Yeah.
And now that the competition's heating up so much.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the last thing we want is for the price competition to get so aggressive that the operators are no longer able to invest in their networks. We're seeing elements of that happening up in Kenya, where India's Bharti Airtel came in and has slashed voice prices. I don't know what's happening on the data side up there, but certainly on the voice side, the prices have dropped to such an extent that it's basically free. We're looking at the cost of calls being as little as 8 cents a minute.
It's amazing
on network calls, which is just incredible.
But is it at what quality?
Indeed. I think here in South Africa, our voice tariffs are still relatively high, certainly compared to some other African markets.
Sure.
But perhaps that voice profit and voice revenue is helping to subsidize this aggressive investment in data. So maybe it all balances out at the end of the day.
We can only hope so, yes.
But it's getting interesting, and I don't think we've seen the end of it. Of course, we saw it. I mean, let's recap here. We've seen ATA with their 10 gigabyte special and 20 gigabyte if you use
If you opt for the out-of-peak time.
Out-of-peak time, midnight to 5 a.m. For an extra 100 rand a month. We've got the new MTN uncapped offerings. Cell C, of course, is the first mover in this market with their aggressive pricing last August or September when they switched on their 3G network. They kind of were the trigger for this in a way. And we're even starting to see it on the fixed line side now with Telkom offering its ADSL customers, its Telkom Internet customers, additional bandwidth for the next couple of months
right.
on their ADSL fixed lines. So certainly the market is getting competitive, and Telkom, which arguably hasn't really competed on price in the space before, is starting to react to the competition, if you like.
Sure. I mean, really, it's suddenly become it's set the bar, and it's suddenly the leader, and everyone else now, you know, Telkom was so far behind, or ATA at least, that now they've leapfrogged into the lead, and we'll have to see how the other operators react. Of course, we're waiting for one in particular.
The big one. Yes, Vodacom. Peter Ace said in an interview with me about 6 weeks ago now that they're also on the verge of cutting their broadband prices, but we haven't seen anything there. I think they've probably been quite busy with some of the issues they've been facing in recent weeks, most notably probably the network outage.
The network outage, yes.
They suffered recently. But I would expect that we're going to see some sort of announcement out of Vodacom in the next few weeks, if not even the next couple of days.
Sure. Although, in fairness, I can't remember who it was exactly, but when we were talking about these data cuts, someone said to me that, you know, we've also really remember after Cell C announced their cuts, it was quite some time before the other operators responded. And I think, you know, we've come to a sort of day and age now where someone announces something like this, we expect the competitors to respond almost immediately. And I have no doubt that despite the network outage problems, Vodacom are planning and scheming and
I'm sure.
getting their product together, and that as soon as it's ready to go, we'll hear about it.
But with every announcement that comes out, like MTN's announcement on Friday, I'm sure they're having to rejig their plans and what they want to bring into the market.
Sure, and with every other announcement, they look slower to respond.
Yeah. Of course, they've got their 2 gigabyte special, which is their sort of first reaction to Cell C's move, but I think we're going to... they have said that they're going to reduce their normal out-of-special data rates, if you like. So I think we're just going to see a general downward move in tariffs. I think once Vodacom moves, MTN will probably move with their general data tariffs as well.
Absolutely.
And we'll see another shift down in the market.
But it's also, I think, it's particularly interesting at the moment because with things like ATA's offering, if you're in a good coverage area, as we said on a previous podcast, essentially ATA have undercut Telkom's own fixed line ADSL pricing. And for users for whom, you know, 10 gigs is an enormous cap, I know a lot of people who have a Telkom line with, you know, only 2 or 3 or 5 gigs. Mm. If you could get 10 gigs on a 3G card for this sort of money and you're actually only a 5 or 6 gig a month sort of user, it's interesting that suddenly there is a 3G option that is a genuine alternative to fixed line.
Yes.
And previously, fixed line was always cheaper than mobile data.
Yes.
And the way things are going, it's not the case, and it's going to continue to change.
Well, we're starting to see Telkom making some tentative moves in the ADSL market with this data increase for its ADSL subscribers. I suspect that will continue, and who knows, maybe we'll even see Telkom reacting to the uncapped offerings in the market, which have proved quite popular.
Sure.
From companies like MWeb and AfriHost, so yeah, maybe we're seeing a more reactive telecom here.
And it's funny again, because arguably, in a sense, we're behind the curve in that, you know, in markets like the US, for a long time, there were uncapped plans, and now they're moving down to throttled or capped plans because, for a start, networks are really struggling to cope with the amount of data that people are willing to push through them now. And here, of course, we've got the reverse. We started with capped. Now everyone seems to be moving to uncapped.
Yes.
And here we are speculating about whether that's sustainable or not.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm still using a capped offering from AfriHost, 50 gigabytes.
I was going to say, in fairness, rather a large cap.
It's a large cap, but, you know, I don't actually need uncapped. And as the price has come down, you know, I prefer the option of a capped account that guarantees me my throughput, whereas on these uncapped accounts, it's a contender-shaped service.
Sure.
Whereas on the capped offering, which I pay probably about the same as I would for an uncapped offering, I'm guaranteed throughput and maximum line speed all the time when I'm accessing services.
Sure. I mean, while at home, have an uncapped line at a decent speed, but obviously, as you said, it's about needs too. I have a couple of housemates, and so for us, uncapped is just the easiest way because there's no bickering over who downloaded what.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So, but yes, there are the speed considerations, and that's another interesting one that, I mean, I know a lot of markets don't have the shaped, unshaped divide in the same way that in a lot of markets you can buy an ADSL line without having to buy a fixed telephone line as well. So there are a couple of sort of interesting mitigating factors in our market, I think, that makes it a unique place for the operators to play.
Yeah. We've certainly come a long way, though. I remember I was one of the first ADSL customers in South Africa. I signed up the moment Telkom made it available. And back then, we were paying over R1,000 a month for 3 gigabytes of data all in.
Sure. Yeah, so. I remember friends in high school who were IRC obsessed using dial-up and then terrifying their parents with four-figure phone bills on the back of dialing up every night. And those days of using Telkom Closer, where between 7 and 7 could get free calls, and technically dial-up was a local call. So
they had something called the Telkom 7 Rand Weekend Special or something.
That was the one. Yeah. I used to abuse it. Yeah, Friday night, 7 o'clock or midnight or whenever it was, connect. And my parents were told that they'd have to take calls on their cell phones until Monday morning because the phone line was occupied with an internet connection. But yeah, we've come quite a way since then.
Oh, of course, because you couldn't. Yeah, of course, I forgot. And
because you couldn't actually make a phone call at the same time. Yeah.
Wow.
Used to drive them crazy, but
I'm sure.
At least we don't have to do that now. Now, of course, I have the reverse. Now I live in a house with a broadband line, but no fixed telephone.
Yes. You know,
we have a jack in the wall, but we don't actually have the handset because no one uses it.
Now, I remember a friend of mine back in those days who signed up for that 7 Rand weekend special as well, and had a dual channel ISDN line installed for maximum speed and just downloaded everything he could over weekends and at night.
Yeah, that was how we had to do it, right?
And, and then I wonder if they still have that 7 Rand. I think they stopped calling it the 7 Rand special because they increased the price to 9 Rand or something.
Or something that didn't have the same ring to it. Yeah, I think you're right.
But I wonder if it's still around. It's probably not because most people have moved off dial-up now.
Indeed.
Good. Craig, I think we need to take a quick break there. We'll be back right after these messages.
The Vox Superphone and your ADSL line go together like taxis and rush hour. But we do give a hoot. Now you can use your ADSL for more than just surfing. With the Superphone, you can call any phone, anywhere, using your ADSL line. You save money, earn rebates, and box-to-box calls are free. No contracts, just plug and play. Your ADSL and the Vox Superphone. It's the perfect combination. Make the most of your ADSL. Visit voxsuperphone.co.za.
After the advent of the telephone, it took mankind 70 years to invent the color television. And yet, it only took the next 23 years to invent lasers, the internet, to put a man on the moon. Ignition sequence start. It begs the question, what will the business world be like in the next 23 years? Wherever your business is at, Telkom Business will be there with you. Telkom Business.
Virtual Access, ECN's latest cost-saving telecom service. Virtual Access is a single 0860 number, providing your customers with national access to your company, no matter how many branches you have or where your customers are calling from. If you are currently using or plan to use an 0860 number, you need to talk to ECN. Virtual Access is the best price single national number offering in the market. For more, visit ecntelecoms.com. ECN, lowering the cost of doing business.
Welcome back to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. We're recording on a Monday today instead of the usual Friday, but it makes a nice change. Craig, Google announced this morning that they've updated their Street View imagery for their on their map service. They've updated the imagery in 13 countries, if I recall correctly, including South Africa, which is great. They it always amazes me how they how early they came to South Africa to do this Google Street View imagery.
Me too. I really thought we'd be left out in the cold for a couple of years on that.
I think it was the previous country manager of Google South Africa, Stafford Marcy, who really agitated for the Street View guys to come here. But now they've gone out and they've updated the maps and expanded their coverage quite dramatically. So they've got coverage in some of the more rural parts of the country. I see they were punting the fact that they now have Street View maps of Cape Agulhas. Southerly placed point on the mainland continent, and
some smaller towns.
They've gone up the west coast, Namaqualand. They've added smaller towns in Limpopo and other places. It's a great service. I often play around in it, not necessarily just to look at South African Street View maps, but it's if you've got some time to kill, it's also great to go and have a look around the world. I was wandering around in northern Scandinavia a few weeks ago, looking always. Part of the world I'll probably never go to, it's a fascinating service. I wonder how much it's cost them, and whether they're ever going to see a return on that investment.
I know, and I wonder. I mean, what it costs just per, you know, they worked it out, say per square kilometer, just to shoot the images and then get them uploaded and so on. I mean, what it must cost an absolute fortune. And as you said, whether or not they're ever going to recoup remains to be seen. But I think it's the most incredible service. Actually, I remember the first time I showed an elderly family member. And they couldn't quite believe it, actually. It was just too much for them.
They rush outside to see if there was a car in the street.
This is incredible. How does this work?
Yeah.
As we were talking about earlier, too, I also wonder how... I suppose the nice thing is because they made it, there's no sort of legal obligations about keeping it up to date. But I wonder how often they'll go and remap things, because especially in big cities, you know. Mm. I mean, you have to imagine in something like Manhattan, with restaurants and shops and so on opening and closing and changing all the time. Mm. You know, in a big city, it would only take a couple of years for things to look quite different.
I did check the street view outside my house, and that has not been updated. It's still there. There's a image of a white Mercedes-Benz pulling out of the driveway, and that hasn't changed with this latest update. So I don't think they've updated all of the Street View images here in South Africa. Perhaps they've just added new images at this stage.
Sure. I'd imagine they've just added new, but by the same token, that's fair enough. I suppose they want to be more comprehensive before they worry about remaining up to date.
Yeah. I'm very glad, I must say, that their imagery of Johannesburg was taken in the summertime and not in winter.
Yes.
It looks gorgeous and green. You drive around Joburg at the moment and everything's dead and killed by frost. And
it's a far nicer picture for foreigners having a look and
absolutely.
Planning their trips.
I wonder if they did that deliberately. Probably just coincidental.
And I wonder if the sort of rushing it to South Africa was also prompted at all by last year's World Cup.
It probably was, yes.
Because I remember going to a launch at... Soccer City, and there was one of those Google guys on a bicycle riding around the outside.
Yes, they've done that in the wine farms as well. They sent the bicycles into the wine farms in the Western Cape.
That's rather fun. I think it's an incredible service. It really is. It's one of these that makes me temporarily forget about all of the other worries we have about Google and privacy concerns and what they're doing with all our data and so on. And it's these sort of projects that hark back to that original do no evil sort of collect useful information to make people's lives better approach that Google always tells us it has. I just think it's an incredible service, and I found it incredibly handy many times. You know, when I was in Kenya at the beginning of the year, backpacking around a bit with my girlfriend, and she had her BlackBerry on roaming, and we used that and Google Maps to actually find. Find hotels
that must have been expensive
and recognize things. And, I believe it wasn't. Oh. I believe it wasn't terrible, actually. Yeah.
But, using Wi-Fi or...
No, using... I don't know. That's a good point.
Yeah, because I'd imagine browsing Google Street View while you're roaming overseas could be an expensive proposition.
Yes, I would imagine so. Fortunately, I didn't see the bill, but it was terribly useful and really easy for spotting things. And it's just nice for having particularly when you're going somewhere unfamiliar, I think, to have... a landmark in mind or something, it just makes it easier dealing with taxi drivers, and it really is a service that benefits people. And as you said, there's no advertising or anything else in it. And aside from those early hiccups with people being being snapped, doing things they'd rather not have the rest of the world see them doing. It's just been a holy great service. You know, I really can't think of anything
negative
about it.
Of course, Microsoft has got its own competing service. I forget what it's called, but if you're in the States and you go into Bing Maps, you can also view Street View-like images.
The problem, right? If we don't know what it's called. If we don't know what it's called, can't expect but a man in the street to know what it's called.
Yeah, and there's no word yet on when, or even if it's going to come to South Africa.
Sure.
I think they've only done the States so far. I stand to be corrected there, but I think they've only done the US. And if they're going to compete with Google on this sort of thing, quite frankly, they have to come to all the same places Google does.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they have to give people in all the same spots the option, or there's no reason to move.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Great. Big news coming out next week. Finally, we've got a launch date on DStv's box office service. For those who don't know, this is their, what do they call it?
I think it's video on demand.
Transactional video on demand.
That's it, transactional service. Yeah.
It's basically going to compete with your corner video shop. They're not going to offer the same sort of variety as your corner video shop, but certainly they're going to offer the latest blockbusters, I think, before they arrive in the video store.
I believe so. I think that's part of the sort of differentiator and the selling point, is that you'll be able to get them a little bit sooner.
But basically what's going to happen is they're going to use a portion of the hard drive space on your PVR. They're not going to take away more space. I think this has already been pre-provisioned. So they're not going to suddenly usurp half of your hard drive, which you've been using for recording stuff previously. But they'll push the video content to you, and then you'll be able to subscribe or rent it rather. For a fee, I don't know how much it'll be. Probably 30 or 40 rand to rent a movie,
and probably for a couple of days before you no longer have access.
They haven't given us any details yet, but I'd imagine it'd be something like 24 to 36 hours to watch it before it locks itself again.
Sure.
And then obviously just to pay by putting in your credit card details, I suppose.
And there'll probably just be a one-click payment option.
Yeah, and they'll probably also have an option just to bill you, if you're a contract subscriber with MultiChoice, they just send you the bill at the end of the month.
Sure. I can see that getting out of hand for parents with tech-savvy children.
No, indeed. Presumably there'll be a lock password on it.
It will, yeah.
But I'm looking forward to that. They're launching it next Thursday, so I think it's next Thursday, 21st of July. Should be interesting. And
it's good to see. It's been a long time coming. I know that
they have been working on it for a long time.
They've been talking about it for years and looking into the logistics and the practicalities of actually getting this sort of service to market. And it's interesting, too, that it's a potential movie rental business killer. But then, frankly, I'm amazed that so many movie rental places are still around. In some senses, I'm amazed they've survived this long in the face of, you know, more and more people downloading content. And, you know, I mean, a lot of the bigger video stores are based in the sort of areas where you expect people to have good internet connectivity.
Yeah, I suppose not the majority of people either don't know how to use BitTorrent or have moral problems with using BitTorrent.
Sure. Probably more of the former, yeah.
Yeah. But certainly we don't have legal movie rental or web streaming services in South Africa.
No Netflix or similar.
Exactly. It'll be interesting to chat to MultiChoice and find out what their projections are for the service in terms of revenues and the number of or rentals they're expecting.
Sure. And I'm also interested to see, I mean, exactly how long it takes to push a movie to your PVR or to your device.
Well, it's over satellite, so you won't notice it. It'll just happen in the background.
So you'll be able to actually start it almost immediately, and
I think
it'll
so.
Just buffer the rest in the background.
That's my understanding of it. We'll get more detail next Thursday, but my understanding of it is they're actually going to stream it to you in advance, and then you'll have an option, a list of movies that you can choose from, say 10 or 20 or 30 movies, and then you pay to decrypt or get a password to watch that movie, and then it's already on your PVR's hard drive, so you can watch it instantly. So
there's I wonder if what the effect, if any, will be of this sort of system on the life of a PVR unit, if you're, you know, pushing more data and doing more read-writes to the hard drive than you normally would under traditional usage.
That's a good point. Although, as I understand it, MultiChoice will simply replace your decoder if it malfunctions.
Right.
You just take it in and they give you a new one.
Sure. So no problem there, yeah.
Anyway, so that's next Thursday, so we'll keep close tabs on that one.
And we'll be sure to have more info on it next Friday, yeah.
Definitely. Before we wrap up, interesting news out of Samsung this morning is that they've appointed Dion Liebenberg, the former head of research in motion in sub-Saharan Africa, as their new managing director. Samsung Electronics, that is. We knew that he was going there. We reported last month already that he'd resigned from RIM and was heading to Samsung. But he's going to head up the entire Samsung Electronics operation here in South Africa. Dion Liebenberg, of course, is the guy who really pushed the BlackBerry into the consumer market inside the retail consumer market in South Africa and made an enormous success out of it.
I was going to say, isn't he largely credited with the
BlackBerry boom? He was leading the team that did this. Yeah, BlackBerry is the most coveted device, smartphone amongst. Amongst consumers, according to recent research, so
in this country at least,
yeah. In this country, yes. And I think that obviously that part of that is the unlimited on device browsing.
Absolutely, which, yeah. The BlackBerry internet services,
which is dirt cheap, and I think that's really appeal to the youth market who like to sit on their phones all day texting each other.
I was going
to
say, and I'm sure it's not just that it appeals to the youth market, it appeals to those paying the youth market's bills.
Exactly.
If I had a teenage child, I think I'd get them a BlackBerry too. And also that, relatively speaking, you know, particularly an entry-level handset,
yes.
BlackBerries aren't particularly expensive.
No, the devices like the Pearl are pretty cheap.
Absolutely, and for functionality and the sort of free messaging and so on that it affords you, I think it makes perfect sense, really, that it's taken so much in this market. And
yeah.
You know, when I look around, even just, you know, driving around at lunchtime, when you see school kids, that's the phone you see more than any other.
Yeah, well, let's see if Dion Liebenberg can do the same at LG Electronics. Obviously, he's going to be looking after much more than just cell phones.
You mean at Samsung?
I beg your pardon, it's Samsung. What did I say?
LG Electronics, no. Yeah.
Samsung Electronics. They're both from Korea. it'd be interesting to see what he, whether in a couple of years from now, all the kids are walking around with Samsungs.
Yes, indeed. Well, of course, some people, cynics of... or critics, should I say, have said that this is a sort of rat jumping from a sinking ship sort of move, and that it's inspired because BlackBerry appears to be in such sort of trouble in the smartphone market and failing to keep up.
Yeah,
but
certainly not the case here in South Africa, not yet anyway, but certainly in markets, more developed markets like the US.
Sure, RIM's been taking a battering. Yeah.
Their share price has been hammered and suggestions that they're floundering.
But either way, we wish Liebenberg good luck.
Indeed.
We'll certainly be keeping an eye on his progress there.
Indeed. I must find out actually who's going to be taking over at Research in Motion here in South Africa from him. I'll put in a call straight after the show.
Sure.
Great. It's almost half an hour. I think let's wrap it up there. We'll be back in a few days' time, since it's Monday today. We'll
back on Friday.
Back on Friday to talk about... local loop unbundling and various other things that are happening this week, or press conferences and conferences that are happening more generally. Craig, anything else you wanted to add?
No, we'll also see, of course, now that we've done this, tomorrow something huge will break, but then we'll come and talk about that on Friday.
Cool. As always, if you've got any feedback on the show, you can email us at info@techcentral.co.za, or you can leave a comment below the post on this entry on the website. Until Friday, have a good week. Cheers. Bye.